future. Can't see no sky. My feet are so heavy. So is my head. I wish I was a baby.
Say Hey, the time is 5:31, it's Monday, you're listening to Say Hey on KZFR, your only locally produced sports talk radio program. My name is Jake, joined as always by Noobs. Noobs, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. You?
I'm doing good. I'm doing better now that you're here.
Thanks, brother.
You're brightening my day.
That's what I like to hear.
And now we get to talk all things sports, and it's going to be a hoop-heavy edition of Say Hey today.
As it should be.
We're going to lead off with the NCAA because it's still going on. And then we're going to go deep into the NBA playoff scenario. How's that sound?
I like it.
All right. So let's lead off with March Madness. We had a long weekend of basketball setting up our Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a cream of the crop Final Four this year.
It is.
Most definitely. And, you know, the game of the week, no question, was Notre Dame-Kentucky. I would say that was the game of the week. What do you think?
I think it was the game of the tournament.
Yeah, it was the game of the tournament. It was a great one. And, you know, we were rooting. I think I was rooting for Notre Dame for sure. I think you kind of were too.
I was. Not because of any affinity for the university.
No.
But more just because I like to see, you know, the impossible happen.
Yep.
You know, even like when Duke took down UNLV 23 years ago, like
right.
I didn't like either one of those schools, but you just like to see the impossible go down.
Right. A game which becomes relevant again. We'll get to that in a bit. But Kentucky winds up pulling it out in a real tight one, 2-point game. Notre Dame with a chance to take the lead late, but didn't get a shot off, had that critical shot clock violation. And then Kentucky drives into the lane. Harrison, good call. That was definitely
a blocking foul. Yeah.
Hits the free throws, yeah. And they dribble into the corner, take basically an impossible three with three defenders around
him. Contested shot.
And game over. Kentucky stays perfect.
And I like the fact that, you know, we did get a foul there because a lot of times towards the end of the game, you see the refs kind of swallow their whistles, you know. And I like to see them let them play. But what I like to see is consistency throughout the 40 minutes. And I felt they were calling the game consistent. And like you just said, it was a foul.
It was a foul. And I'd be the first one to admonish the officiating if they had decided the game in a way.
Right.
But there's no question that's a blocking foul. Mm-hmm. So they got it right. But, man, it was a great game.
Absolutely.
Up and down. I mean, it never got too far one-sided.
Right.
It kind of felt like I personally felt like if Kentucky was able to keep it close when Notre Dame was threatening to, you know, maybe run out to a 10 points or something.
Yeah.
I felt so long as if Kentucky could keep it close, if they basically had the ball late and last with a chance to claim a lead, I felt like they were going to win. And sure enough, they did. But Notre Dame definitely overachieving in a way, even though they were great during the regular season.
And they've been playing well lately. I mean,
they
won the ACC conference tournament,
right?
You know, which is not an easy task.
No,
so definitely a great year for the Irish.
Yep,
for sure.
It was their first time getting this deep since the late 70s.
I want to say 79. Yeah, Digger Phelps.
Yep, and then same side of the bracket, Wisconsin and Arizona. Wisconsin winds up getting it done.
Yeah, they looked really impressive.
They did. What'd you like about that game?
Well, as I texted to you real early in the morning, sorry about that.
No, it's okay.
I'm kind of remiss that I didn't watch more Wisconsin basketball this year.
Yeah, I was saying the same thing.
I mean, I always knew about Kaminsky, and I knew that, you know, he was a Player of the Year candidate, but Sam Decker really just impressed me. Some of those threes he hit late in the game, off balance, guys in his face, you know, and his ability to drive to the basket too. I mean, I'm just impressed with his all around game.
Right.
I feel like they kind of have that methodical, you know, pace to their game. And I feel like they can do some of the same things that Notre Dame can do, but even better.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if there is a team that can get it done, that can beat Kentucky, it will be in the semifinal. I think I like their chances better than Duke or Michigan State.
Okay. And I kept seeing flashbacks of Keith Van Horn in that game.
Absolutely.
Anybody else make that
connection?
No doubt. My God. He hit that three. And all I could think about was Keith Van Horn. Maybe it's because of the way he wears his hair and his socks.
Right, but also the way he kicked one leg out, too.
Yeah.
Kind of off balance.
Yeah,
you know?
You don't hear a lot of Keith Van Horn references.
You don't.
No, you don't.
Bringing it back. I like it.
I'm trying to think of where Keith went to school. Was he a Utah?
He was a Utah Ute.
He was a Ute.
He took them to the final against Kentucky in 98.
Right. Maybe this is serendipitous.
Absolutely. And Utah, real quick mention, they had a good run this year.
They did have a good run.
It was the first time they'd really been relevant since those Van Horn teams.
Right, right. And then on the other side of the bracket, we had Louisville and Michigan State.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan State pulling it out. That was another good game.
Now, granted, lower seeds, you lower know, four seeds. And seven, but let's but be still, real. It's Louisville and Michigan State. It's Izzo, Patino.
Yeah.
I mean, that's still blue bloods right there.
Yeah, I mean, you can basically take – you can look at this Final Four right now, and three of those four teams, you can just plug into the Final Four any given year.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, the likes of Louisville, I mean, it's the same thing with a team like that. UNC, who got knocked out earlier, is another team like that.
Absolutely.
They're just around. They could be as, you know – they could have been a 10 seed or an 11 seed, and it would be no shock to see them here.
Right.
I mean, Izzo is he's one of the great coaches in college basketball, probably of the era at the very least, if not ever.
Oh, I think you got to put him in like the top three or four, Calipari, Patino, and Krzyzewski.
Yep.
I mean, well, no disrespect to Roy Williams at UNC.
No.
There's a lot of good coaches.
Yeah, Roy Williams is amazing.
But, you know, he's in that first handful.
Absolutely.
I mean, I believe I heard a stat today that he's taken Michigan State to more Final Fours this century than any other coach.
Right. And somehow, I wouldn't say they fly under the radar, but they kind of do a little bit.
They kind of do.
They get a little less press as opposed to the Kentuckys and the Dukes,
for
the
sure.
UNCs.
Because they don't have that long. I mean, they go back. I mean, Magic Johnson played there, late 70s, Judd Heathcote coached teams.
Mm-hmm.
They had some good squads, but they don't have that long history like the Kentuckys, the Kansases, the North Carolinas of the world have.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're still like, you know, they're kind of in that Duke and Connecticut range of like being good in the last 30 years, but not like the last 50 or 60 years, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. You can't really make sense of some of these things as to why some teams get the most press and why others don't. But they do fly a little bit under the radar. And then down below, Duke over Gonzaga. Not a bad game, but Duke definitely
had it in control.
Definitely had it in control.
For sure.
Yep. And no surprise there. I mean, obviously, we said that Duke was kind of a weak one seed at 29-4, if you could say such a thing. But, you know, they're Duke.
Yeah.
Here they are.
I mean, they only trailed for like 2 minutes the entire tournament so far.
Right, right. So. I mean, just when you don't want to pay attention to them, they wind up in the championship again. I mean, there's no reason why Duke can't win that game.
Oh, for sure.
You know?
No, that's going to be a great, great game between, you know, like we just said, two of the greatest coaches out there.
So, give me your picks real quick for who's going to go to the championship.
You know, I think that Kentucky survived the scare that they're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
But like I just said, you know, I think Wisconsin can get it done. They've, you know, they got to slow the ball down, use the shot clock, limit Kentucky's possessions, not foul too much, not turn the ball over, make sure that they rebound. And if everything goes right, I think Wisconsin can do it.
Mm-hmm.
In the other game, honestly, I think it's a toss-up because Michigan State's playing as good as anybody right now.
Mm-hmm.
They took Wisconsin to the wire in the Big Ten championship, excuse me, the conference championship. They're playing great. Izzo is just, he's the master of March. You know, he takes these quote-unquote lower-seeded teams and always finds a way to get it done. But either way, I guess this isn't very committal on my part, but I would say that the winner of Kentucky-Wisconsin will win the championship on Monday night.
Yeah. I do like Okafor's game a lot.
Jahlil Okafor is great.
Yeah.
I
like his game a lot. I wouldn't mind seeing him play an extra two games.
Right.
Just from a rooting perspective, he is fun to watch.
Absolutely.
He's big. And, yeah, that might be an interesting matchup, seeing some real bigs banging in the final. Who knows?
Yeah.
Duke
Kentucky would be great because those are two
classic,
of the most storied franchise or not franchises but programs.
Yeah,
you know, who've never really matched up in a final.
No, they have the famous history with you know, Leitner and all.
That was in an Elite Eight game.
Yeah, that was an Elite Eight game. But that would be kind of interesting. So I'm kind of rooting for Kentucky Duke matchup right now just because they really are the two most, you know, year-to-year storied franchises in college basketball.
Right.
No disrespect to the UCLAs who have fallen off in recent years.
Right.
But those are the guys that, at least in the modern era, are there all the time.
All the time.
All the time. So that's what I'd like to see. Of course, nobody really wants Duke to win, but I got nothing against him. So
Well, they're kind of, the, you know, those programs, because of their success, are very polarizing. I mean, you don't really come in on the middle mm-hmm. with Kentucky or Duke. You either hate them or you really love them.
Yeah.
You know, whereas like Wisconsin, I kind of feel indifferent. I'm on the bandwagon now.
Me too.
But like, I don't ever have any reason to like, you know, resent the Badgers necessarily.
No. How could you resent the Badgers?
Right.
One of the best mascots in all of the collegiate sports.
Absolutely.
So that's going to be a good one. Look out next weekend for great stuff. And let's move on to the NBA now, Noobs, because we haven't given it its due diligence in recent weeks with all the exciting things going on in the collegiate world. So where do you want to start? How about we start on the West Coast?
Okay.
And we start with the final call the other night for Golden State. They were playing the Milwaukee Bucks. We'll let Tim Roy sum it up real quick. This is from KMBR.
The Warriors sweep the back-to-back against the Grizzlies and the Bucks. They've had the likes of Gola and Arison, Chamberlain, Thurman and Barry. They've had one TMC and We Believe, but they've never had a 60-win season. And the Golden State Warriors have knocked off Milwaukee 108-95 and a new franchise record for wins in a season.
Golden State really, really showing what they're made of at the right time of year. They've won 9 straight. They're 60-13. They've got it locked up for home court in the West. They've got it all but locked up as the number one overall seed, barring a complete and total collapse, which isn't going to happen because they're like 5 up in the win column on Atlanta.
Yeah, Atlanta's been fading a little bit.
Yeah, Golden State's really making a case right now. I mean, they're kind of giving me butterflies a little bit when I stop and think about it. I just can't wait for the playoffs to start.
Yeah, dude.
I mean, this is just far and away the best team they've ever had in my lifetime. Obviously, they have one title, which was, you know, the anniversary has been coming up. They've been, you know, hyping the 75 team. And I'm just so excited going into the NBA playoffs as a Warriors fan, not just because they're an exciting team to watch, but because I really feel like playing their game the way they're playing and having home court where they're 34-2,
yeah,
that this is a team can, honest to God, win the NBA title.
They can. They are a legitimate contender. You know, it's one thing. It's kind of interesting, too, real quick, because, you know, Steve Kerr has been talking about, well, it doesn't make sense to rest guys now, because I don't know if you heard this quote from him today. He said, well, you know, if we rest guys, we can get them out of their rhythm and they might wind up coming back and injuring themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Where to me, it's like, well, if they're not playing, they're definitely not going to injure themselves, you know?
Yeah.
But so it's kind of interesting now. Like you said, they got everything locked up. Like, what are they going to do? Are they going to try and rest these guys? It's not like they have an aging lineup like San Antonio.
No.
I mean, these guys, the core group is super
young.
You know, I think Bogut is really the only guy that you really maybe need to kind of coddle here in the last 10 games or so.
Yeah.
You know, literally we're talking, you know, 2 weeks from Wednesday is the last game of the regular season.
Yep.
And 2 weeks from Saturday is when the playoffs begin.
Right.
So we're almost there.
We're almost there.
And the West is absolutely stacked.
It is.
You know,
although now that OKC has officially ruled Durant out for the duration.
Yeah.
You know, they're not particularly dangerous just as a Westbrook-led team with all the injuries they've incurred. If the Warriors line up with OKC in that first round, I almost think they're getting, I don't want to say lucky, but I'd rather face the beat-up Thunder than, say, the up-and-coming Pelicans just because.
Really?
I honestly would. I mean, the Westbrook Thunder are nothing special just because they've been decimated by injuries. He creates as much havoc as he creates. He turns the ball over a ton. His usage is something like 40%, which is like 10% up on the next closest player, which I think is Harden. It's kind of Kobe 2006 sort of stuff.
Right.
Without all the surrounding cast. So I really like their shot. I really like their odds against anybody, obviously, but I don't mind OKC in the first round, just looking ahead to possible matchup.
Yeah, I think that if Durant had been healthy for this series, then I think we're talking.
You're naturally scared a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely, because you're talking about them having, you know, arguably two of the top 5 players in the league on one team, and Westbrook having all this time to kind of like assert himself as a number one option. I think it's helping his confidence, not that he's ever really lacked of confidence.
No.
But I don't think that he can put this team on his back and defeat Golden State in a 7-game series.
No, and you look at that home record, 34-2.
Yeah.
One of those losses coming like in the first week or so of the season of the Spurs.
Right.
I mean, that's incredible stuff at home.
Speaking of the Spurs, I think that would be the team that you got to watch out for the most. There's a possibility they could wind up seeing them in round two.
Right.
And if not, then, you know, talking conference finals. The depth and the experience on San Antonio is what would worry me if I were a Warriors fan.
Yeah, no, totally. And actually, there's some good, you know, teams are not limping into the home stretch right now.
A lot of teams are hot.
In the West, the Clippers have won 7 straight. Houston's won 4 straight, although Beverly is now out for the year with wrist surgery.
Yes.
So that's going to hurt.
That will hurt.
He's known as one of the league's better defenders. And then you look at, Portland's won 3 straight. Memphis is on a little bit of a downturn right now. The Warriors just destroyed them in Memphis the other night.
And the Cavs crushed them, too.
Yeah.
Memphis is not really looking good recently.
They're not looking good recently, which is...
But I like their game come playoff time, though.
Yeah.
Because they can pound the ball in the middle to Gasol and Randolph.
Right.
So I do like their game. I like their experience. They're starting 5. So, you know, right now, not looking good. They just slipped into 3rd behind Houston, which isn't good because now you're talking about a second-round matchup that could be on the road instead of at home.
Right.
So, but, you just look up and down that conference, and it's pretty stacked.
It really is. And how about a potential first-round matchup of Portland and the Clippers? That would be a great series.
That'd be a great series.
Yeah.
You know,
that'd be a really fun
that
one.
That Houston-Portland series last year was phenomenal.
Yep.
7 games, buzzer beaters.
Buzzer beaters.
So you're going to see a lot of that in the first round. But the cream will rise to the crop. I mean, you have teams right now like the Trailblazers, and man, they look phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
But I still feel like they're a couple years away.
Yep.
You know, I still feel like this is the Spurs conference to lose. Even though they might not come in, you know, higher than a 5 or 6 seed.
Well, you got to kind of ceremony, you know, in a ceremonious way, you got to dethrone the Kings.
You
know,
you got to beat the man to be the man.
Yeah, you got to beat the man to be. Yeah. So even though, we're not going to be talking about them like we are Golden State rolling in, I bet you the Warriors in the back of their minds think, well, the road to the finals goes through San Antonio.
Right.
Until proven otherwise.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Dallas, I don't know.
I'm not impressed.
They're not too scary.
I don't think Rondo's a good
fit. They're a good team, but
they're not
real scary.
And they've got great experience over there, too. I mean, you know, Nowitzki, you know, how many playoff games does he have under his belt? You know, and that they honestly took San Antonio, the eventual champion last year, they took him to 7 games in that first round.
Right.
So they've got some veteran players over there. I just don't think Rondo's a good fit. In retrospect, as a Celtics fan, at first I was kind of bummed that we got rid of Rajon, but now with this young core group of guys, I think it's a great call. I just think he's the kind of guy that with Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce being there, kind of can kind of keep him under wraps a little bit.
Right.
But when you put Rondo as like the guy, the leader in your clubhouse, your locker room, I'm not feeling that.
Right. If the standings held, we'd have an all-Texas 2-7. Houston-Dallas, that'd be kind of cool.
That would be cool.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's a natural rivalry back in the home state, but I would got to assume they'd get up for that pretty good.
Oh, no, yeah, because those three teams have been in the same division forever.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. And then let's look at the East for a minute.
All the Texas teams, that is.
Cleveland has won 8 of their last 10. Atlanta's, 5-5, not playing their best ball of the year, but still 8 games up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Atlanta's, they're the one seed. But, I mean... I don't know. Who else is scary? I mean, the Bulls are, they're playing all right.
Nah. I mean, if Rose comes back.
But it's like they're, I don't think that team really has a shot.
There's nobody in the East that's impressed me right now. Washington started out the year like gangbusters, but they're fading fast. Yep. Toronto's not scary.
They're 500-ish down the stretch.
What I'm actually looking forward to possibly is my Celtics getting in there and maybe pulling an upset, believe it or not. I mean, they're playing pretty well right now, and Atlanta's not. And I mean, granted, like you would think Atlanta would roll over them, but honestly, there is not a single team that I can look at in the East except for Cleveland that's a shoo-in to come out of the first round.
Uh-huh.
Cleveland's going to the finals, most likely.
You don't think that Atlanta would roll over Boston or Brooklyn?
Probably, but I don't think it's going to be a sweep. I don't think it's going to be 5 games. I think Boston can win 2 games.
Okay.
I mean, really.
All right. So you're changing your tune.
I was ready for
the lottery.
now I kind of checked myself. I was thinking about our conversation the other day, and I want to slap myself on the couch. I was like, how could I say that? was like, anytime you get into the playoffs, it's like, who cares? Because we're just going to give up a middle round guy anyway.
Yeah.
And if we're the 16th team to qualify for the playoffs, we're still going to get a draft pick right around that area anyway.
Right.
And Danny Ainge has stockpiled so many picks
mm-hmm.
that it's like our future actually looks pretty bright.
Okay.
And so I would love to see a 7-game series against Atlanta. And it would be kind of interesting because back when Boston was the cream of the crop in the Eastern Conference, when the first couple of years they had Garnett and Ray Allen come over and join Pierce, Boston got shook a little bit by Atlanta. Atlanta took them 7 games
mm-hmm.
that year that Boston beat LA in the finals.
Right.
So it'd be kind of cool to see if they can kind of flip the script a little bit.
Right, right. Okay.
As the underdogs.
That's an about face.
Oh, yeah.
Hey. Yeah. What was it that year that the Lakers snuck into the 8 seed and Magic was predicting them to upset the Spurs in the first round? That was just like a few years back.
I think it was Dallas when Dallas played Miami.
Yeah,
it was Kobe and nobody else.
It was Dallas. That's right.
And Magic just can't help himself.
That didn't work out.
It didn't work out too good.
You could be having a magic moment.
One magic moment.
But that's okay. I appreciate the enthusiasm. I think it would be kind of funny if Cleveland wound up playing Miami in the first round, just for the oddball storylines of that.
Absolutely.
I mean, why not? I mean, that's Miami is not exactly scary, but I would kind of appreciate that. Then you've got a team like Milwaukee who, the Warriors just beat that garners no press whatsoever. That's about 500 that will be in the playoffs.
They will be.
These kind of bottom rung Eastern Conference storylines are odd in that you give them some respect because they made the playoffs, but they don't really mean anything because they're sub 500 teams.
The only storyline that's going to matter is if anybody pushes Cleveland to like more than 5 or 6 games in a series.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, literally, it's Cleveland's to win. No disrespect to the Hawks. I'm thinking probably Atlanta versus Cleveland in the conference finals.
Mm-hmm.
And until then, you can pretty much just watch the West.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be a waste of your time. I mean, who cares about the Raptors versus the Bucks?
Well, I mean, I want to say that I care because I like the small, quote unquote, small market matchups. But the things I'm not interested in are bad teams playing playoff basketball.
Right.
Now, Toronto, they're 13 games over 500. So even though they're a 500-ish limping in right now, give them some credit for playing decent. They would actually be the 8 seed in the West.
Right.
Record-wise. But, I mean, then you get down to Milwaukee, Miami, Brooklyn, Indiana, and Boston on the outside, and even Charlotte on the outside. These are teams that are 10 games under 500, basically.
They are. But I would point out that Toronto actually started the year. They were like right up there in first place.
They were hot.
They were hot, and they've kind of been playing 500, maybe even slightly less than 500 ball
right.
for the remainder of the season, a good chunk, say 3/5 of it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the Celtics have actually kind of caught fire a little bit lately.
Right.
They've had a winning record over the last 20 games. I think they're like 13-7.
Mm-hmm.
And they've beaten some decent teams. They got smoked by the Clippers yesterday at home, but LA's hot. Maybe I'm just being a homer here, but I like to see teams that are at least playing well.
Right.
I don't like seeing teams that are limping in.
Right.
And it feels like the Wizards, the Raptors, the Bucks, they're all limping in.
Yeah.
And Chicago is literally limping in.
Yep. Yeah, you got to give Chicago a little credit just for competing through all of these injuries.
I think they can make noise because they've got Gasol and they've got Noah
mm-hmm.
and they've got a lot of veteran leadership. And I like Tom Thibodeau as the coach.
Good job.
A great coach, great defensive mastermind. They could maybe make some noise. A second round matchup, perhaps maybe with them and Cleveland would be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of the history between LeBron and Chicago.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's completely worthless to watch the Eastern Conference playoffs, but if you have a choice to make, I can only watch so much basketball this week. I would tune into the West.
Watch the West. Yeah. No question. Then if you look at the bottom of everything, I don't know if you want to call it a battle, but the two worst records in the NBA belong to the New York Knicks at 14-60 and the Minnesota Timberwolves at 16-57. I'm going to guess that the Knicks will wind up winning out and having the worst record. I don't know.
It's not like the NBA has ever had a history of fixing the lottery in the past or anything for New York. So
no. it's like, let's say New York gets the number one pick. I mean, they suck. They're terrible. I mean, I don't know.
They're awful.
If they get the number one pick, why would anybody think they would turn it around?
No, they're not going to turn it around.
Let's say Okafor is the number one
Yeah.
I mean, just assume that he's going to come out
yeah.
and he'll be the number one. Why would you think that would turn everything around? I just don't. And don't see it. They're awful.
No, they're pretty awful. And, you know, the other thing, too, is they got Carmelo still. And as long as he's there, he's going to jack up 30 shots a game.
Right.
So I don't care who you bring in, whether it's Cauley Stein or Okafor or somebody else who just isn't on the radar, some, you know, foreign phenom. I don't care who it is.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying Phil Jackson can't get it done from the front office. And I'm not saying Derek Fisher can't get it done from the bench. But I just don't feel like New York is anywhere within 5 years of becoming even relevant.
No. You got to trim the fat, man. You got to get rid of Melo. My goodness.
Yeah, but that's the thing is they it's not going to happen. They just paid
probably
him like $150 million.
No, I know. And that's, God, that's so weird.
So much money. That's like A-Rod money.
It is. And without any of the, I mean, nothing to show for it.
Yeah.
Nothing at all. I just don't get a guy like Carmelo Anthony as this investment. I don't understand it.
I mean, I like him from, like, you know, a certain skill set. The fact that he can create his shot anywhere on the floor.
He just doesn't play any defense.
Well, he doesn't play defense and he doesn't share the ball.
Yeah, he's like a ball hog.
The thing about LeBron, I mean, you can say whatever you want, like, oh, he shies away in crunch time, but dude, that guy is
he distributes
the ball. He makes his teammates better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and since they made those trades, you know, well before the deadline to bring some of those guys in, Mozgov and the other guy's name is slipping my mind right now, but LeBron's feeling a lot better about that roster
right.
than he was in the beginning of the year. You can kind of tell his body language wasn't quite there.
Right.
I think he was thinking, okay, maybe I made a mistake, but he did only sign for, I think he's got an option.
He's got options.
Out.
Yeah,
so,
he's got options.
But now they're a contender. And it's going to be interesting because typically if you follow the NBA, teams that have success in the playoffs are teams that have been there in the last few years,
right.
where Cleveland has not. Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love have zero playoff experience.
Right.
So we'll see how much of a factor that is. I think if LeBron can carry them through the first couple rounds and they get some of that experience under the belt, because, you know, people listening to the show might think, oh, well, why would it be any different? Well, there is quite a difference between playoff basketball and regular season basketball.
Mm-hmm.
The way the refs call the games, the intensity of the players.
And just the way a seven-game series plays out.
Absolutely.
You know, it's different because not that it's predictable, because it's not predictable in baseball, but you're used to, say, seeing teams play each other four games in a row.
Yeah.
And you can kind of...
You can kind of see the ebb and flow.
You know, there can be, obviously the cream almost always rises
yes.
in the NBA, but there's still, like, you know, there's some kind of unexpected things that kind of seem to pop out. Even if, like, let's say Cleveland winds up, it's Cleveland, Atlanta. Along the way, there will be some interesting little storylines that pop up that didn't seem relevant somehow.
Right.
You know, like last year, Spurs, Mavericks, seven games,
right.
you know, things like that. They just, I don't know. You can't predict them as well just because of the way the schedule typically works.
Right.
So that is an interesting thing to watch, even though we do wind up getting the same old by the end of it, much like March Madness.
I think in some ways, though, the NBA can be a little bit predictable. Like, let's say you get a team like Cleveland let's say they go down 0-2
mm-hmm.
on the road to Atlanta. Like, I would almost guarantee that they win game three at home.
Yeah, that's the, like, predictable side of it.
Right.
Is the cream will rise.
Yeah.
But there will be these little bumps in the road. Just, I don't know.
Right. No, because you do. You get these series sometimes where, like, the home team only wins one out of the seven games.
Uh-huh.
You know, these, like, weird,
like these, the,
anomalous.
Like, not true home court advantage.
Right.
Unless
Which
you're
has been fading
a
in the
team
NBA.
Like Golden State that just, honest to God, plays a better game at home than on the road.
They do.
Period.
And they play pretty darn good
and
on the road, too.
They play pretty darn good on the road, yeah. But, you know, I want to make mention the last couple of 2 minutes here. I honest to God think that Golden State is going to the finals.
Okay.
I don't want to be so bold as to say they're going to win everything, but I think they're going to the finals.
Against who?
I want to say Cleveland.
Yeah.
I do. Just because, I don't know. I guess I believe in the power of LeBron until somebody in the East shows me otherwise. And maybe the Hawks finally do it.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to bet against LeBron James in the East. I'm
no.
just not going to.
No, and nor should you.
Yeah.
yeah.
I mean, I don't want him to go to the finals. He aggravates me as an egomaniac,
right.
but I respect his game too much. I won't bet against him.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be Golden State and Cleveland.
Okay.
Wow. That would be exciting.
That would be.
That would be huge ratings. Can you imagine? Not that we care about ratings, but wow, the needle would be through the roof in the
for
NBA
sure.
for that one.
Absolutely. And that's why, I mean, I'm not trying to say that the fix is in, But, you know, the NBA kind of has sort of somewhat of a shady history sometimes when it comes to these bigger market teams, like L.A. getting the benefit of call after call after call, whether it's against Portland or Sacramento, you know, during the Shaq Kobe era. I mean, it was almost egregious. And I'm not saying that the fix is in for Cleveland, but let's just say, you know, it gets down to Cleveland, Atlanta. I believe that the powers that be, the suits in the front office there in the NBA headquarters in New York, they're going to want Cleveland in it.
We're getting conspiratorial here on Say Hey right at the tail end. So that means it's time for us to say goodbye and say that we'll be back next week with our MLB preview.
Yes.
We're looking forward to that very much.
Boys of Summer are back.
Boys of Summer are coming back. So stick around. Grant's got some news production for you coming right up at 6 o'clock here on KZFR. Noobs, good as always. And I will talk to you real soon.
Good to see you, man.